Welcome once again to the Living Water Church. And today we're wrapping up the teaching series that we've been going through called I Need a Miracle. And during this series, we've been studying some of Jesus' most incredible miracles to discover how you and I can experience that miracle for ourselves in our own lives. And today I want to talk to you about what to do when it feels like I'm running out of everything and you need a miracle. So go ahead and grab those message notes so we can follow along as we go through this. And to start us out, I kind of created this list of the top 10 things that you might run out of, okay? Things that you just would rather not run out of, okay? And so see if you agree with me if you think of your own top 10 list. Number 10 on the list is gas in your car. You know, especially when you're on your way to work, that's the worst thing, to run out of gas. Number 9 of the worst things to run out of are friends. To survive, we need friends, right? And so we just need that support in our lives. Number 8 of the worst things to run out of is patience. Have you ever been in a situation when someone ran out of patience? Never good. So you need patience to wait, you know, wait on everything in life. Number 7 of the worst things to run out of, this might be higher on your list, but it's money. Right? Because everything's so expensive today. Okay, number 6 on this list of worst things to run out of is energy. You gotta be energetic. Life is so fast-paced, and so we all need energy, right? Number 5 is an important one. It's toilet paper. Right? You know, have you ever been in the house alone and realizing there's no toilet paper left in the house? That's worst, right? Okay, number 4 of things you don't want to run out of is clothes that say Michigan. Because there are too many occasions where you just don't fit in if you don't have any Michigan swag, all right? Number 3 are umbrellas. I hate getting wet, and so when it's raining outside, you need your umbrella. Number 2 of worst things to run out of is humor. Okay, you got to be able to laugh at yourself and your circumstances if you're going to survive in society today. Now then here's number 1. The number 1 worst thing to run out of in life is hope. Hope. You can't survive without hope. Okay? And so when you feel like you're running out of the most important things in life, it's easy to go there, to begin running out of hope. It's easy to feel defeated. And so let me ask you this. What do you feel like you're running out of right now? I mean, you might feel like, I just need more energy, or I need more money, I need more support, I need more love, I need more opportunities in my life, I need a job. Maybe right now you feel like you're running out of everything, all the important things in life, and it's causing you to feel defeated and deflated. And because of that, you're beginning to run out of hope. And so if that's you today, I believe today's miracle is for you. I believe you're going to find some things in here that'll really help you. Because other than the resurrection, today's miracle is the only miracle that we find in all 4 Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that tells us 2 things. Okay, this miracle is really an important miracle, and it made quite an impression on the disciples, so much so that they all wrote about it in their Gospels. And that is the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. So today we're going to look at Mark's version. We're going to start in chapter 6, beginning in verse 31. And let me just set the scene here for this miracle. It's just been an incredibly busy time for Jesus and his disciples. Jesus' popularity, it's beginning to rise. He's teaching, he's healing. People are just coming from all around just to be near Jesus and to see him. And on this particular day, they're tired. The disciples and Jesus, they're exhausted, they're done. They just need to get away. And they have nothing left, as well as they needed some time to grieve because they had just heard that John the Baptist had died. Jesus' cousin. A couple of the disciples had been disciples of John the Baptist. And so they were just impacted by this in a very negative way. And so we read from Mark 6, verse 31. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while.' He said this because there were so many people that were coming and going that Jesus and his disciples hadn't even had time to eat. So they left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. Disciples had run out of energy. They were exhausted. They were done, and Jesus was aware of their need. Notice that Jesus recognizes the disciples had run out of energy, that they were just tired and needed rest. And remember, even though Jesus was fully God, he was also fully human, and so he experienced fatigue in his own life. He knows how it feels like, and he understands when we're tired. And so the same is true for us. Jesus is aware when we're running out of things right now. If you're running on empty, he's aware of that. If you're running out of energy, if you're out of strength, if you just don't know how you're going to be able to keep going, whether it's in your job or in your marriage or at school, if you're struggling with your kids, if you're struggling just to keep all the balls up in the air without dropping any of the important ones, I want you to know that Jesus sees you. He's aware of what you're going through. He knows your situation. And so he tells the disciples, let's all get in a boat. We're going to cross the Sea of Galilee, and the goal is to get away from the crowds, to go to a quiet place where there aren't any people to recuperate, to recharge, to just be alone. We all need that sometimes, right? You know, a quiet place to recharge and get back on track. That's their plan, but that's not what happens. Back to our story, verse 33 says, but many people saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. So just picture this scene. All these people have come to see and hear Jesus, maybe get healed by Jesus, and they see he's leaving in a boat. And so what do? They go home? No. They decide they're just going to follow alongside on the sea, the shores of the Sea of Galilee. They're following the boat. They end up getting there ahead of them. And not only that, but more people kept joining the crowd as they're going to where Jesus is going to be. And so the crowd that's waiting for them when they get to the other side of the lake is even bigger than the one they had just escaped from, now numbered in the thousands of people. So verse 34 says, Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he turned around immediately and he left. Wait, no, that's not what happened. Let me go back. I mean, that's probably what I would have done. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. I don't know about you, but if I was exhausted and I needed to grieve and I finally had taken some time to get away and I had got to where this crowd was there, I just think I'd have said, oh, no way, nope, nope. I just got back in that boat and I'd have gone, found a different place. You know, but that's not what Jesus did. He stood there. He got out of that boat. And, you know, any ordinary person would have just been intensely irritated and annoyed at this point, but not Jesus. Why? Well, the Bible says Jesus had compassion on them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed him. Right now in your life, whatever you feel like you're running out of, Jesus sees you. And he has compassion for you. He's not going to leave you. He's going to come to you and meet your needs. And that's what Jesus does here. Instead of running, he begins to teach the crowd many things. And he teaches for such a long time that the entire day is now gone. We pick up the passage, verse 35. It says, late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, this is a remote place, and it's getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat. Here we see two different ways of, or different interreactions to human need. When the disciples saw how late it was and how many people there were and how hungry these people were, they tried to absolve themselves of any responsibility to fix this situation, to meet the needs. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so their plan was to Jesus to send them away before it was too late so they could go find something to eat. You know, this is not our problem. Jesus, it was your idea to postpone our getting away. And now, you know, would you send them? Would you let them go get something to eat? Now, I want to make a point here. You know, as when we apply this to our own lives, in the Detroit, Pontiac, Flint area, the needs that are there are just overwhelming. And it's so easy to be like the disciples were and say, you know, hey, that's not my problem. But we can't, that can't be the reaction that we have as a church to the needs of people that are around us. We have to be willing to get involved, to help meet needs, to feed the hungry and help in any way that we can. And so we see Jesus' response. It's very different than the disciples. They said, send them away, but Jesus says, you feed them. Jesus says that to the disciples here, and he says it to the church today. It's your responsibility to meet the needs, to feed them spiritually, to feed them physically. In other words, we can't turn our back on needs that are around us. Verse 37 continues, but Jesus said, you feed them. With what, they ask? We would have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. In other words, they said, Jesus, that's impossible. They threw up their hands. They're ready to give up. Jesus gave them a faith assignment, and the disciples responded with logic, with human limitation. I mean, isn't that often how we respond? Right? You know, the deeds are too great. There's just too many homeless. There are too many financial needs. There are too many people that are far from God and full of the world. We can't possibly meet all of the needs. So here's what we do. Because we can't meet all the needs, we decide we're not going to meet any of the needs. You know, just because you can't meet every need doesn't mean that you don't meet one need. The need that's right in front of you. And the challenge is if you stay in this area, the Oxford, Ortonville, Clarkston area, you might go through an entire week without seeing a single need. But take a few extra minutes and take a drive to Pontiac or Flint or go down to Detroit. The needs are just overwhelming. And we can't feed everyone. But we can get involved with like OSEF or Love in the Name of Christ, or we could spend some time volunteering maybe with Al Manfroni's organization down in the Redford area of Detroit, or volunteer at Grace Center of Hope in Pontiac. And when you do this in Jesus' name, you might not solve the greater Detroit poverty problem, but it does make the difference in one person's life, and it brings glory to Jesus when we do it. So going back to our story, verse 38, Jesus says, well, how much bread do you have? He asked. Go and find out. So they came back and responded, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So Jesus sends them out to find out how much food there is, what have we got to work with here, and before we implement the disciples' plan to send the people away. And by the way, this is a great lesson that Jesus is teaching. Before you begin complaining about what you don't have, take stock of what God has already blessed you with. They had 5 loaves of bread. And these weren't bakery loaves of bread. They weren't like French baguettes or anything. They were probably small dinner rolls. The Gospel of John says that they were barley loaves. In other words, not the best quality. Barley would have been the kind of bread that the more impoverished people would have had. It wasn't a lot of bread. So they had 5 dinner rolls and 2 fish. And these 2 fish probably weren't big, largemouth bass, right? They were probably sardines. 2 little fish, enough food for a child's lunch. It wasn't very much food at all. So Jesus doesn't have a lot to work with here. But here's the thing with Jesus. It doesn't take very much. Verse 39, then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up to heavens, and blessed them. By the way, this is another great lesson. Before you complain about what you don't have, stop and pause and thank God for what you do have, for what He's blessed you with. Because when you thank God for what you have, instead of complaining about what you don't have, God can take your little and turn it into a lot, and that's what He does here. The verse continues, then breaking the loaves into pieces. He kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share, and they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. 5 dinner rolls, 2 sardines, fed 5,000 people plus women and children. The crowd was probably between 10 and 12,000 people, if not more. And then it says there were 12 baskets of leftovers afterwards. Why were there 12 baskets of leftovers? Because there were 12 disciples. Each disciple had a basket to serve the food, and when they were done, each of them had a basket that was completely filled with leftovers. It was just an amazing miracle. Maybe today you feel like the disciples, and the needs in your life seem overwhelming, and your resources are inadequate. You're running out of energy, you're running out of money, out of strength, out of patience, and you're running out of hope, and you need a miracle. Well, let's learn from Jesus today how to get one. Back to your notes, what to do when I'm running out of everything. I encourage you to write this in. I recognize that God is all I need. It's the first step when you feel like you're running out of everything, is to recognize that truly God is all I need. So let me just ask you this. What do you feel like you're running out of, out of right now? And then, who's the first person, or where do you go to when you feel like you're running out of everything? Who do you turn to? Is it a friend, a family member? Or maybe you think, I'm just going to handle this myself. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to make more money. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get what I need. Now, by the way, none of those things are bad. But until you recognize that God is all you need, none of those other resources are really going to help the way that you need them to. So turn first to the only one who knows what you need and can do something about it. Turn to God. Now, to give the disciples some credit, even though their initial solution to the problem was wrong, they did turn to the right person. They turned to Jesus. And you know, sometimes you'll go to Jesus and you ask Him to meet a need in a certain way, and Jesus says, I'm going to meet your needs, but I'm not going to meet your needs in the way that you expect me to meet them. The way I'm going to do it is it's going to draw people to God. The way I'm going to do it is going to let people know how amazing I am. So the 23rd Psalm reminds us of why we should turn to God when it feels like we're running out of everything. In fact, the feeding of the 5,000 is kind of a reenactment of some of the 23rd Psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Why did Jesus stay? He saw that they were sheep without a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He even organizes people in groups of 50 and 100. He leads me beside the still waters. We're at the scene of the whole thing, right by the Sea of Galilee. He refreshes my soul. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. So much so that there's leftovers. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Even when Jesus is exhausted from a long day of teaching and healing and decides to get away from some R&R, even then He chooses to be our good shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd, you're going to have everything that you need in life. You might not have everything you want, but you'll have everything you need, because Jesus can take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and He could feed you for months. He could provide for you any way that He chooses to. If he turns off one job opportunity, he can turn on another one just as easy. If one door closes, he can open another door for you. And because of this, my trust is not in my job. It's not how skilled I am or how much I have in my bank account, but my trust is in God. Amen. And you know, sometimes God will allow a deficiency in your life. He'll allow a shortage of something that you really rely on so that you can see that you cannot rely on that person or that thing. And you'll learn that you truly can only rely on God. Because see, you don't know that God is all you need until God allows you to hit a dead end in life to remind you that when you're running out of everything, He's all that you really need. This is such an important principle because sometimes the money is going to run out. Sometimes the business is just going to stop coming. Sometimes the friends are going to stop calling. And what are you going to do then? Well, then you're going to discover that what you have been relying on isn't enough. And hopefully, you're going to turn to God. So when you're running out of everything and you need a miracle, begin by recognizing that God is really all that you need. And then the second thing is I invite God to teach me through my situation. I invite God to teach me through my situation. Instead of panicking in my situation, instead of stressing out in my situation, I say, God, all right, what are you trying to teach me? See, God never wastes a challenge. He never wastes an obstacle that's in our lives or a problem. In our story, the disciples saw a problem, but Jesus saw an opportunity to show people the power of God. And this is another important truth. God has something to teach you through whatever shortage you're experiencing in your life right now if you'll let Him do it. James says it this way in chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it a what? It's an opportunity. Man, it's hard to think of that as an opportunity, but that's what it is, because whenever problems come our way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So God can take your troubles that you're going through right now, and He will use them to teach you and to grow you and to deepening your character and to deepen your roots in Him. You know, you might be emotionally empty right now. You know, you might be just where you're going through this cold, dark, lonely place. Maybe you feel cut off. Jesus used this miracle as a time of preparation for His disciples, and maybe He's using this time in your life where you're running out of, and you're just on empty, as a time of preparation for you. God says you feel desperate now, like you're running out of everything. Good, because now I've got you where I need you to be. This is going to be the time where I'm going to be teaching you something. I'm going to strengthen you and grow you, and I need your undivided attention right now. And when you need things, that is what God tends to get, our undivided attention. Because some of you are in a situation right now where the money is not there. The support isn't there, or the energy isn't there. Maybe it's your health that's not there. Something that was once very good is suddenly gone. Something that once brought you great joy is now disappointing you. And there are three things that God might be teaching you during this difficult time when you feel like you're running on empty. The first thing is to stop depending on something other than God. If there's anything in your life right now that you depend on more than God, you know, maybe it's like a girlfriend or boyfriend or a spouse, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your bank account or your credit cards, and again, those things aren't bad things, but if you're looking to any of that for your security rather than God, well, that's a problem. So to help you overcome it, sometimes God will take that thing or that person that you've been relying on more than Him away to help you discover that it's God that you need to learn to rely on. The second thing he might want to teach you is to make a change. And we struggle with this change concept. You know, he might be trying to encourage you to make a change in your life, where you just become so comfortable with where you are that you won't listen to God when he's asking you to make a needed change. And so God is going to push you out of your comfort zone so that he can bring that change in your life for your own good. Your life changes. You lose your job. You know, that boyfriend or girlfriend breaks up with you. What you think is very bad may be the very best thing that ends up happening to you. The thing you thought was going to destroy you is actually the thing that ends up strengthening you. So sometimes God allows us to run out because he wants us to be ready to make a change in our life. The third lesson that God might be wanting to teach you in your time of emptiness is that he has not forgotten you. When things go wrong in your life, that's what we often think. We think, oh no, God, where are you? You know, God's forgotten me. He's not paying attention to what I'm going through, or he wouldn't let this happen to me. But God has not forgotten you. He might just want you to get a new perspective and have a fresh start. When you feel forgotten and like you don't have enough, pay attention to what God is doing in this. He's teaching you to depend on him more. He's inviting you to make some changes in your life, and he's reminding you that he's there and that he cares about you. And here's the third lesson we need to learn when it feels like we're running out of everything, and that is that I praise God for what he's already given me. I praise God for what he's already given me. You know, when we feel like we don't have much, that's tough to do at times, is to choose to praise God in the midst of that. Because what we do is we begin to fret and we get fearful over what we don't have. And what we need to do instead is to pause and take stock of our blessings that we do have and then be thankful to God for what he's already given you. Psalm 106 talks about this. It says, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Who could list the glorious miracles of the Lord? Who could ever praise him enough? In our miracle story, the disciples looked past what God had provided. But Jesus took what God had provided, he blessed it, and thanked God for it, and it became the source of the miracle. And the same can be true for you. God can take your little bit that you have, and he can make that little bit be the ultimate source of the miracle. You know, if you're in a place right now where you're asking God for a miracle, maybe it's the same miracle that you've been asking since we began this first sermon of the series, but God hasn't answered yet. And maybe it just feels like you're running out of time. Would you take a minute, even in the midst of that stress, and pause and reflect? Maybe you feel empty. Maybe you feel alone. Maybe you feel forgotten. Maybe your situation seems just completely overwhelming. But who or what could you thank God for right now? Something or someone who's already in your life and who's a blessing to you. Who or what could you give thanks to God? Start with thankfulness over what you have and not resentment over what you don't have. If you'll choose to praise God for what you already have, God will use that because let me tell you, Jesus specializes in turning just a little bit into a lot. And so then here's the next step that you have to take when it feels like you're running out of everything, and that is I allow God to use what I have. And boy, do we struggle with this. I allow God to use what I have. Don't just thank God for what you have, but give it to him so he can multiply it and bring about a miracle. See, this is what ends up happening when we feel like we're running out of things. You just naturally become protective of the little bit that you do have. You know, I don't have very much, so I've got to hoard it. I've got to protect it. I've got to be stingy. I've got to hold it close because it's almost gone. I can't afford to give it to God. But let me tell you, that's the exact opposite of what you should do. Because when you hold it back from God, God can't take it then and multiply it and use it to bring the miracle you need. The Gospel of John adds a few other details to this miracle story. We learn from him that it was a little boy who brought the disciples and Jesus the 5 loaves and 2 fish. I mean, what if this child had said, you know, there's thousands of people here. No one else brought anything to eat. I better hold on to what I have. I better keep it close. I don't want anyone to see it, or I'm not going to have anything to eat myself. There's just not enough for everybody. I need to hoard this. I'm not going to share it, even though the disciples ask for it. I mean, that's the attitude we often have. And again, it's the attitude that's going to prevent God from working a greater miracle in your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, Paul talks about the opposite attitude. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. It's when you give that you're blessed. It's when you serve that your needs are met. It's when you're generous that God shows up. So what are you holding back from God right now because you don't think that you have enough of it? It's because of that lack of generosity that he can't bless you. And so maybe finances aren't the way that you would like them to be. And so say, you know what, I'm just not going to tithe right now. My bank account is rather low. I'm not sure if I can cover the bills. And so I'm just going to hold tightly to what I have. But God wants to take that little bit and work a miracle. If you'll trust him and give as he asks, he'll bless it. You know, maybe you're running out of time. You say, I can't serve on a ministry team. I can't be in a growth group. I can't get to church every Sunday. I'm so busy. I can't give God my time. And then you just get more and more stressed. But let me tell you, if you give your time to God, God takes that time and he multiplies it. I really don't know how he does it, but I know that he does because he's done it over and over and over in my life. But God won't bless and multiply what you're unwilling to give him. It's going to continue to deteriorate. So what are you holding back from God right now? Where are you not being obedient? Where are you not allowing God to use what he's already blessed you with? If you feel like you're running out of everything and you need a miracle, trust God with what you already have. And then here's the final step. When it feels like you're running out of everything, I then trust God to meet my daily needs. I trust God to meet my daily needs during the tough times. It's just a day-by-day process. You take it one day at a time. You know, right? And sometimes you just have to get on your knees at the beginning of each day and say, you know what, God, it's just really tough right now. And I need you to come through today. I need you, God, to meet my needs today. I trust you to do that. So the people in our story, they didn't have food. And it was a long walk to go get some, and it was late in the day, but Jesus performed a miracle. He took those 5 dinner rolls and 2 sardines and fed thousands and thousands of people. You can trust God to meet your needs today. Give it to him, and he'll take care of you. Give him your day, day by day, one day at a time. You know, Jan read this passage just a moment ago, but let's hear it again from Psalm 145, starting at 13, where it says, the Lord always keeps his promises. He's gracious in all he does. The Lord helps the fallen and lifts up those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in everything he does. He is filled with kindness. So God promises that he will meet your needs if you'll put your faith and trust in him. If you'll follow the steps, if you'll do the things he's asking of you. So what is your greatest need right now? What does it feel like you're running out of? Will you lay that down? Laying down your worry and your stress and your anxiety, and trust Jesus to meet those needs today. Our key verse is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. I want us to read this final verse out loud together. It starts with the words, "and this same God." You see that up there or in your notes? Let's read this together. "And this same God, who takes care of me, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus." Notice that it doesn't say that God might supply all your needs. Or it doesn't say that God is going to try to supply all your needs. No, it says that God will supply all your needs from his glorious riches. God says, "I will meet all your needs in Christ." That's a promise from God. And God doesn't lie. He won't let you down. You can trust him. You can put your hope in him. So as the praise band is coming up, do you know this Jesus that I'm talking about? Do you know at the depths of your soul this Savior? Do you know the one who has taken me, taken care of me throughout the years? If God has done it for me, he will do it for you too. I might be one of God's favorites, but so are you. So if you don't know Jesus, you can get to know him right now. So we're going to sing this song, "Desperate." And we've sung it the last couple weeks. We're starting to get to know it. But I want you to just absorb these words as you're thinking about what you're dealing with in your day-to-day life. And maybe talk to him as we sing this song. You know, let's go ahead and stand as we sing the song, "Desperate."
Myself, and I'm tired. I've tried all that I know to do. Right now it's just by a thread, but I'm hanging on to you. I'm running out of hope. I need a miracle, and if I ever needed you, it's right now. Oh God, I'm desperate, down on my knees. Send help from heaven, 'cause that's what I need. Redeem this wreckage, restore my peace. I'm not asking, I'm begging. Lord, come through for me. I need heaven and I'm desperate. Desperate. Oh, I need heaven. Need heaven, and I prayed all the prayers I can pray, but I won't stop knocking till you open the door. You can move a mountain, you can calm a storm. I know you. Oh God, I'm desperate, down on my knees. Send help from heaven, 'cause that's what I need. Redeem this wreckage, restore my peace. I'm not asking, I'm begging. Lord, come through for me. I need heaven and I'm desperate. Desperate. Oh, I need heaven. Need heaven, and I'm desperate. Desperate. Oh, I need heaven. Need heaven, and you're my only hope. need a miracle. And if I ever needed you, it's right now. Oh God, I'm desperate, down on my knees. Send help from heaven, 'cause that's what I need. Redeem this wreckage, restore my peace. I'm not asking, I'm begging. Lord, come through for me. I need heaven and I'm desperate.
Go to prayer. God, as we come before you, we're just saying that we're desperate. We've got this challenge in our life we just don't know what to do with. We have this situation and it just feels like it's not going in the right direction. And we need a miracle. We need you to intervene, God. So, Father, I want to pray for anyone who feels like they're running out of something they desperately need. Well, maybe it's money or time or health, family and friends or energy, or wisdom. You know, may they turn to you for what they need right here in this moment as we're praying. And God, would you provide that miracle? You know, if you don't know Jesus, if it's time for you to finally put your trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, today you can settle that. You can get your heart right with Him right now. And if you're ready to do that, you know, just pray this simple prayer with me. As I'm praying it out loud, you could just pray it silently in your heart, but just say, Jesus, I put my trust in you. I know I've lived my life apart from you in sin. But today I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I commit to follow you, Jesus, as the leader of my life. And as part of your church from this day forward. And as we continue to pray, you know, if you need a miracle from God, if you're in a desperate place today and you're willing to do whatever it takes to put yourself in a place where God can give you that miracle, would you give him that thing that you don't have enough of? Just right now as we're praying, just say it. Money, time, health, energy, wisdom, whatever it is, would you say it? Say, you know, God, I give this to you. Give the little that you have right now so that he can multiply it. Maybe it might mean putting something in the offering plate when you were planning on skipping that today. Maybe it means writing on your connection card that you want to sign up for that growth group this summer or that you want to be on a ministry team. Giving God time when you feel like you just don't have enough of that. Maybe it means laying down your will, what you want, what your dream is, what you've been hoping for, giving that to God so that he can give you something that's 100 times better. God knows you better than you know yourself. Give it to him. Would you say a prayer right now and just give it to him? You can say it out loud. You can say it in your heart, whatever it is. And say, God, I'm giving this. State it. If it's several things, give it all to him right now. Just pray it. It's yours, God. Multiply it in your will. And then would you be willing to even come forward? And let me or Laura or Jeff anoint you with oil as we ask God for your miracle. So God, I pray that you would do a mighty work right now right where we are, right in this moment. I'm praying that you'd break some chains, that you would heal some lives, that you provide where there has just not been enough of something. You know what it is, God. We're asking you to do a mighty work today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.